welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire broadcast, this podcast, is being recorded and aired for August the 31st, 2024. A while back, months ago, I wrote a commentary on what your heart cannot bear, things that cannot be said to us due to the fact that our hearts could not bear. Well, evidently, John, and he is from Denver, got a hold of this, and I don't know how, because only sponsors get the commentaries. And I was very surprised and a bit taken back when I got his email about the commentary, which he endorsed but questioned and was very troubled by it. Let's put it that way, very troubled by it. And so he wrote me an email regarding the commentary, and he listed four or five questions about it, and they're very good questions. They're questions I think anybody would have after reading my commentary on what your heart cannot bear. So I'm going to, so to speak, dedicate some programs to this because maybe, just maybe, this might help some of you, not many of you, but a few of you. So I'm privileged and honored to be able to do this, John, for you. And we'll start off with your first question. What can't you tell us that our hearts cannot bear? Well, I laid it out in the commentary. I don't think that I was vague about it. We live by the human heart, mostly. And John, this human heart is anything but kind. It is ruthless. It is selfish. It is pompous. It has nothing to do with the bigger picture of life. It's emotional. It's so emotional that it perpetuates the whole myth of being loved and wanting the love of the human heart. And the human heart is a gratifier, and it's also a sympathizer. And on top of all of that, it does not have any compassion. So there are certain things that we run up against in the course of our lifetime, whereby we are talking about things that just make sense only to the human heart. And the human heart, with all of its prejudice, which it has a ton of prejudice, with all of that being said, it just is very difficult to talk about the things that really need to be talked about, like abandoning my biology, abandoning my impulses. These are things that people don't want to do. We are run by our impulse, our emotional impulses. They are the pride and joy of our ego, the emperor of all malice, the emotional emperor of all malice. So when you start to look at, as you state in your question, what can't you tell us? There are so many things that could be said and offered, but they're insulting. They're insulting to your ego. They're insulting to your five senses. They're insulting to the way you were raised, the culture you live in, the society that you and I live in. It goes against the grain. Everything that Jesus taught goes against the grain. He didn't teach things that were highly emotional. He didn't teach about the whole idea of living in a culture, society that is prejudicial and political and social. He didn't do any of that. Just his Beatitudes, which I think are the most precious teachings on earth, just his Beatitudes were more than enough to teach us that. But people don't understand the Beatitudes. They hear them. Maybe they hear their minister or their preacher, whatever, talk about them in the sense that this is what Jesus wanted. But how they interpret it, if you really listen to the Beatitudes, and I did a series on this for TV, if you go and look at it on the website at aspire.org, you will see the teachings of the Beatitudes there and the videos, and that they're all about one very simple thing, that inner work, spiritual work, deep work goes beyond the confines of logic and reasoning, the biology of us. So we don't do well with all of this. We want things that make sense to us, that comply with our society, our ego, our vanity, our pride. We get insulted easily. What if I told you, you know, that everything that you are, the way you purport yourself, the way you posture yourself on the inside, all of that moved against you and created nothing but the havoc of consequences in your life, and that your whole life is just a matter of surviving your own consequences? I hear people say to me who are not in the practice, and even some who think they're in the practice, that, you know, life is difficult and life is hard and blah, blah, blah. No, it isn't life that is that way. It is my living that is that way. It is the way I interpret my living through my emotions, my passions, my ego. So when there are things that need to be said, we want peace on earth. Protesting is not going to bring peace on earth. Being against wars is not going to bring peace on earth by, you know, protesting and doing all of that. It comes down to each and every one of us. How am I living within myself? What is it about me that makes, shall we say, war possible? Inner war, my prejudice, my political points of view, thinking I'm righteous. People like to think that they're righteous, that they're perfect, that they know what's right, but they don't. And even if I knew what was right in the rightness sense of it all, the arrogance of society and culture and all of that, you would see it's very selfish. The only reason people want peace, it's because they don't want to be bothered with war. They don't want to be bothered with the inconvenience of war. They don't want to be involved in themselves and find out how utterly warlike we really are, because we're sapiens. And if you don't understand the sapient nature, then you're not going to understand how we collect ourselves in little societies that do nothing but bring about war. Because we're insecure. A lot of this has to do with our insecurity, John. We're very insecure, emotional people. And when you find someone who thinks they know, absolutely thinks they know, then you have a problem. We have a saying in Zen, and I like it very much. Zen people all understand this. The saying just goes this way: only don't know. You want to have peace on earth? Only don't know. Instead of thinking you know what would bring peace on earth, that you know what's right over wrong, you know what's good over bad, only don't know. This is something, John, that I teach my students, but it's goes by the wayside very quickly, because they incorporate in their life and in what they think of as their practice what they know. And that is where the problem reigns supreme in us and we miss. So one of the things that I could not tell my students, and even though I try to tell them, there is this thing that we have, that we are haters. And we don't know we are. We really don't. We don't understand that, because we think our intent is for peace, but actually it's for self-preservation. And that's all it is, self-preservation. So once that's understood, then we have something to work with. Okay, John, I'm going to do your second question tomorrow. I hope this helps some of you. I really do. And may this serve you well. Please forgive me. Namaste.